Thank you, Stella. I'm going to jump in now and give a few of my final thoughts on unification. I would say that it's my hope, or people would say maybe it's a dream, but I do always feel that dreams can be achieved, is that a facility could commit to, let's say, 3 or 4 paid music positions, depending, of course, on the size and the type of the facility. For instance, if you had a nursing home, you might only have 1 paid position. But let's say you have a huge hospital like Mercy Hospital in San Diego, and that the facility could embrace the music therapist who has had the training to assess and diagnose and work for outcome goals with clients, that they could engage the therapeutic musician who can work with the intrinsic value of the music by the bedside, that they could engage a practitioner of harp therapy and or a music thanatologist to offer vigils for those who are in transition. In the case of a facility that has both graduates of music thanatology and harp therapy, I would create a balance between the two modalities and realize that both have been trained in the end-of-life care. For the volunteer musician who is eager to serve, I would create a music in the lobby program where the musicians could provide music for people entering into the hospital. And even in waiting areas, in some of the more intensive floors on the hospital, it requires a good understanding of types of music, certain tempos for the listener to entrain with, and an understanding that certain music will elicit emotions that may need to be dealt with. The general lobby area seems to be the place where people can have a choice whether or not they want to be listening to music or if they don't. This is a good place for the volunteer by someone who has not had training. Ultimately, every caregiver and administrator wants to know and be assured that the patients in their care are being offered the best in the field. Certification and training are ever so important. One would not want a doctor performing surgery without training. As for a pay scale, I would base this solely on the number of years of training, and like Barbara said, the amount of training that comes along with it. For instance, what I think would be fair would be that music therapists could earn $10 or more per hour than the therapeutic musician or the practitioner of harp therapy, the music thanatologist, or the vibroacoustic harp therapist, because they've had more training. But then it depends if a person has more training in other areas. This way, the music therapist is still compensated more, but not so much that the facility would say, let's hire one of the others because they're less expensive. We really want to watch out for that. It would be my hope also that the 3 to 4 people hired by the facility would work together as a team and with the staff and administration, and that there would be a coordinator, and they would determine the best use of the trainings and try to cover as many hours in the day or night among the team. As for how to come up with money, I understand that some insurances cover music therapy, although that's not always the case, and especially in this day and age where so many cuts are going on. Perhaps, Barbara, you can add to this thought. In our own training, what we found that works best is to get the musicians together and offer a concert to the public to raise money solely for the purpose of having music in the facility. The facilities have helped out by sending out notices to all people on their mailing lists to encourage them to attend a concert or at least make a donation. If possible, that they can make a donation for a tax-deductible contribution. And finally, we have found that both the Women's Auxiliary and also applying for grants have been very successful. One facility funded music for their patients from the donations that were left in the chapel at the hospital. So I think this conversation has been extremely beneficial and thought-provoking. I think one of the things that has come out of it for me is this idea of establishing an entrepreneurial music program to introduce to facilities. Hopefully these entrepreneurial programs would have unification at the heart of the matter so that they could then propose recommendations to the facilities to bring it all together with the understanding of what each modality consists of, the training, the level, the focus. So to my presenters, is there anyone there who would like to make a final thought? And if anyone has a question, please indicate your question at this time.
Just to follow up on what you said, Tina, the only direct reimbursement of music therapy at this time under Medicaid, and usually the private insurances follow, is for stroke rehabilitation using a specific technique called rhythmic auditory stimulation.
Okay. Good information to know.
This is Sarah Jane. I think SAMA will actually be a great benefit in creating public awareness to ask for these services, and a lot of things that hospitals do are consumer generated. So that might, if we did more marketing in that avenue to educate the public and do more commercials and have this unified front, I think that'll be a great benefit.
Did you hear that, Joshua? You going to take that back to SAMA?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Anybody else?
This is Stella. I just, we're still at a point, I think, in our development, even though we're on a roll now, that I think we're still young enough where we are able to think about ways that we can help healthcare facilities figure out where to get their income. This presentation tonight, as an example, is a really good start. And I also agree that SAMA is another avenue by which we can also look to get credibility in what we're doing so that we can raise our credibility even more so in the eyes of those that that count. So thank you, Tina, for having this.
Thank you, Stella. I think definitely that all the facilities that I have been to over the past years, there hasn't been anybody who has said, oh, we don't want music. It's always come down to the financial, how can we afford it? And I think once we tackle how we can be able to afford to do that, we're going to see that there's going to be a very large reception. And I think maybe it's bringing awareness to big corporations about the value of sound and music healing, like what we're aiming to do and setting up through SAMA, the Sound and Music Alliance, that once people understand the power of this, then we will probably be able to get more grant money to be able to fund more programs in facilities. Would anybody like to make any other comment before I take our first question? In that case, I'm going to open the mic up to Kevin Roddy. Kevin, do you have a question for somebody?
Yes, Christina, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. My question is to Barbara Crowe. It was very interesting, her comments on ethics and morals, and I'm wondering if there is a real easy definition between the two. They share similar characteristics, and I wondered if she had some way that she definitively divides what ethics are and what morals are.
Okay, Barb.
Well, you know, ethics are standards with which we adhere to, so principles and expectations of conduct professionally for members of a profession towards the clients, the public, peers, and employees and employers. Morals are beliefs about what is right or wrong, usually based on a static cultural or religious framework, which can at times be in conflict with professional ethics.
But thank you. That sums it up pretty good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
We have a question here from Cheryl Kissling. Cheryl, who is your question directed to?
I had two questions. The first one for Barbara, when she was talking about informed consent, and I guess I assumed that was just verbal versus a written consent.
Well, you know, I think minimally you have to have verbal consent. In some cases, and I don't know, Sarah Jane, if you think about this, but in something that might be considered quote-unquote invasive, that you might want to have written permission just to kind of guard yourself, if you know what I mean. In research, it definitely has to be written consent.
Okay, thank you. And then my other question was to Sarah Jane. Just, is there a list on the website of facilities that do the vibroacoustic treatment?
I have a list of practitioners who are working currently, and that's on the website, on the vibroacoustic.com website.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, vibroacoustic.harp.com. I'm sorry. Getting late.
Okay. I saw it in the class information, so thanks.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So this brings us to the end of our conference call tonight. It's been very informative. I want to thank everybody for hanging in there. So I'm just going to sign off for everybody and thank our presenters. You've been wonderful. And this concludes our call for this evening. And be well, everybody. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.